no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. Our hour begins with the Saint this week. We're going to hear his February 25th, 1951 episode titled The Big Swindle. After that, it's Theater 5 and their episode from July 6th, 1965, titled Jailbreak.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Just a moment. Yes?
Are you Simon Templar? The man they call the Saint?
Yes, I am.
Who am I?
Oh, what do I get if I come up with the correct answer?
Let me in and I'll show you.
Well, you're in. If you're carrying your laundry in that little black bag, Jack Benny is...
I said I'll show you. There.
Oh. Laundry never looked like this.
Don't touch. Just look. It's almost all big bills. The whole bag full of big bills.
What did you do? Sell your car to Honest John?
That's what I want you to tell me.
You mean you don't know how you got all this money?
I don't know anything. That goes for who I am, where I came from, where I'm going.
I see.
An hour ago, I woke up in a taxi and we're driving through the park. I got a bump on the head the size of an ostrich egg and this bag full of sugar beside me.
When I wake up from a bump on the head, I'm lucky if I find an aspirin beside me.
I got no wallet, no papers, no keys, not even a matchbook. My pockets are empty and so's my head. I remember nothing.
The cab driver?
Oh, he's waiting for me downstairs. He says he picked me up in a midtown street. He says I gave him a 10-spot to drive me through the park while I took a nap. So for $1,000 from this joy-jammed bag, Saint, who am I?
My friend, I'm afraid you have amnesia. You'd better tear some doctor away from his cigarette test and have yourself looked at.
You're nuts. You go to a doctor with a knock on your noggin, the doctor calls the cops come calling, and write your own finish.
You don't like cops?
With a hat like I'm wearing, I'm not even positive I hate spinach. It isn't what I might think of cops that's important, Saint. It's what they might think of me.
You mean the money?
I mean exactly nothing else. Anybody carrying this kind of dough these days is... either been stealing from a bank or holding on to the government. No hospital, Saint, no doctors, no cops, no explanations, no jails. You.
Me.
You. Once again, Saint, for $1,000, who am I?
All right. $1,000 goes to the Red Cross in anticipation of the day that I become a national disaster.
You've just made a deal.
And as for you, you'd better go into my guest room, lock yourself and your money in, and sleep off that bump, huh? Before it grows into another head and wants to know who it is. You'll find sleeping pills in the medicine chest if you need them.
I'll need them. You're going somewhere?
I want to see if that cab driver left his meter running.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Templar.
You're very welcome, Mr.
I can't help you there.
But for the time being, I'll just call you Mr. Sugar.
Mister, all I know is the guy climbs in the cab at 48 Madison, hands me a 10-spot, tells me to tick it off through the park while he snatches 40.
He handed you the money before you took him riding?
Yeah, before.
Let me have how come.
Because I didn't want him in my cab, that's how come. The way he was bobbing and weaving, I thought he was lushed. I didn't want no trouble with no drunks.
So you had a little argument?
A little discussion. Then he takes out a $10 bill and forces it on me. So I stop discussing and start driving.
The $10 bill, he took it out of his pocket, huh?
If you know any other place a guy can carry his dough, let me know, and I'll take the bill off of my wife's neck when we go to bed nights.
Out of his pocket.
What's the matter? You think I'm lying?
You're not lying. Now I know how my old grandmother felt when the medicine man swore that the snake oil would cure her rheumatism.
Having trouble finding out what the score is, huh?
I don't care what the score is. I'd just like to know what the game is.
Well, well, here he is, your long last, Basil.
Yeah, and I'm very glad, Cecil. Oh, so glad.
You were waiting for me.
Yeah, we seen you chatting with the cab pusher outside, Saint.
We didn't want to interrupt.
Shall we come here into the hall?
To await you.
We want to have a chat, too.
With you, Saint.
With you.
Oh, please, now, one head at a time. Now, what should we chat about?
A man.
Which man?
The man we've been shagging.
Shagging?
He means following.
The guy's in your apartment now.
When we phone the boss and tell him, the boss has a reaction.
Right while he's talking to us.
I can understand it. I feel a little sick myself.
The boss says we should collar you and ask you politely.
No, Basil. He said first ask him politely.
Oh, thank you, Cecil. So we are asking, say.
Politely?
So why don't you politely tell us?
Look, if you boys are auditioning a new television act, Radio City went that away.
We almost do a lot of politely, Saint.
We hardly got one good manner left.
So what goes with the man in your apartment, Saint? The boss says he wants to know.
The boss says he gotta know. The boss says he don't want that old trouble with the law should start up again.
Basil, you're talking too much.
I apologize,
Saint. Saint, you are not talking enough. Now, politely, for the final time, the man with the black bag... What's he up to?
Yeah, and what's he carrying in a bag?
Mustache wax.
Mustache wax?
Yes, a new kind of mustache wax, homogenized. He dropped in to give me a free home demonstration.
No, don't give us none of that. You ain't even got a mustache.
Well, he said he didn't mind waiting.
Oh, dear. Basil, shall you hold him while I hit him, or shall I hold him while you hit him?
No, you make the choice.
No, no, Basil, I insist.
Cecil, are you high?
What?
I
couldn't bear to see such a...
Well, hello, boss. Hello, Saint.
Hey, you're just in time to accept my thank you.
You're thanking me?
Yeah, for making me a member of the Thug of the Month Club. To think of all the money I've been wasting on gymnasiums.
From where I sat, it didn't look wasted. Huh. Go on, beat it, boys. I'll talk to you later.
Now, don't be sore, boss. We try to be polite, didn't we, Cecil?
We ain't baited. Yeah, yeah, beat it.
Yeah.
You know me, Templar?
Yeah, not as well as I would if I bet on horse races. Frank O'Connor, you're a bookmaker.
Well, you don't know me at all, Saint. I'm not a bookmaker. I'm the bookmaker.
Bully for you.
We'll get right to the heart of the thing, eh? How much?
I've got nothing for sale. Try Macy's.
Let's be a little realistic, Templar. The way you live, the way you dress, you know, you got that dollar look. All that you gotta do is tell me in 50 words or less what I wanna know about your guest inside, and the big cash prize is yours. What's he up to?
He doesn't know either, he says.
Oh, come on, fella, give a little. Do I have to start mentioning amounts?
You can mention any amounts of amounts you want. I've nothing to sell you, O'Connor.
All right, okay, if that's the way you wanna play the hand. But you won't hold out long. I've found that people and racehorses have one important thing in common. They both have a price.
And then why bother me with your impossible questions? Go make a deal with Citation.
Now, the deal will be with you, Saint. And if my money won't make the record spin, the boys have a way all their own.
Yes, the boys. It's too bad they weren't able to stick around and play a little longer, but I guess the zoo was getting anxious.
Oh, you'll be seeing them again. Soon. And Saint... maybe you better start getting anxious.
Ah, love, wouldst thou and I with fate conspire to change this sorry scheme of things entire? Would we not shatter it to bits and then...
Anyone who recites Omar Khayyam to a highball either loves Omar Khayyam or loves highball.
I'm happy to say that I love and am faithful to both. And what brings the great saint, the scourge of the wicked, the nemesis of evil, to this humble drinking place?
I have a brain to pick with you, Murphy.
Whose brain?
Your brain.
Ah, you've made a wise choice. Do we haggle about price, or is it the usual?
The price is what it always is.
Splendid, splendid. I will accept payment now.
Hey, bartender.
Yeah?
A bottle of bourbon for my friend. One of the stamped for services rendered.
Coming right up.
Here you are.
Thank you. And now, render friend.
At your service, friend. Now, which branch of my fabulous brain have you purchased?
Memory branch. Mice and Men Division. Department of Thugs and Bookmakers. The file on Frank O'Connor.
Frank O'Connor. Born in Boston in 1912. Father was...
Yeah, which brings us up to recent years and an old trouble with the law that he doesn't want should start up again, to quote a thug named Basil.
The case of the missing paint man, Payne.
Huh? Let's have that in waltz time.
George Payne. Payne's Paints. He liked to play the horses. He didn't like to pay the bookmaker. He didn't mind making promises, though.
When was this?
A couple of years ago. He owed O'Connor what could easily have been the annual budget of a small Latin American republic.
How did it all come out?
He disappeared.
Disappeared?
Like the buttons on a shirt in a 10-cent laundry. It created quite a splash.
How come
you,
I didn't...
You were in Las Vegas at the time. The Hotel Flamingo, I believe. It was room 210, and the lady you liked in the floor show was named Yvonne.
Yeah, someday when you have time, would you mind writing my memoirs? But right now, let's go on with the opera.
Yeah. The police found out about Payne's debt to O'Connor. They picked O'Connor up, grilled him, medium rare, made him very uncomfortable, found they couldn't pin anything on him, turned him loose.
Yeah, and Payne?
Where are the snows of yesteryear? The popular theory is that he is a victim of amnesia somewhere.
Amnesia?
He's had it twice before, his doctor said. So be kind to the next bum who asks for a handout, Simon. He may own a $1 million paint factory in Long Island City.
Any relatives?
Wife. Much younger. Much prettier, too, they tell me. She's running the paint factory now, bigger and better than ever. That's all. Clothes filed.
And I got my money's worth.
Naturally. I do have a remarkable brain, don't I?
Fabulous.
Anytime, Mr. Templer, anytime. I am here at my office every day.
Excuse me.
You're excused, but with reluctance.
I'd like to get by, please.
Yeah, you'd get by anywhere.
Look, I'm a very busy woman. I have no intention of standing here on a catwalk suspended over a 1,000-gallon vat of boiling resin while a stranger throws passes at me.
So that's what's boiling in that outsized tub below us, huh? Resin. And I had hopes it would turn out to be a hot Tom and Jerry.
See here, who are you? What are you doing here?
Well, they told me in the front office that Mrs. Payne would be back here in the production office. I'm Simon Templer.
I'm Mrs. Payne. And if you want to talk to me, Mr. Templer, let's get away from the heat of that vat before my makeup runs.
Well, if it runs, I'll chase it for you.
Come into my office.
Oh, thank you. Ms. Payne, I'm here to talk to you about your husband.
My husband?
Hmm.
You know something about George. You know where he is.
Well, let's just say I know where a man with amnesia is. At least he says he has amnesia.
He says... I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, frankly, neither do I yet.
Then what makes you think you...
Well, a bookmaker named Frank O'Connor.
O'Connor?
Yeah, and two patrons of the arts named Basil and Cecil who work for him.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
In the course of a dull conversation, Basil let it slip that their interest in my man with the paralyzed memory is a continuation of their one-time interest in your husband.
So you think that the man with amnesia and my husband are one and the same?
It's the theory that I'm working on.
Oh, if only it turns out to be more than a theory. Mr. Templer, when can I meet this man?
Well, get your hat.
Now? All right. Only...
Look, if you're worried about that resin you have cooking, Couldn't you get some obliging neighbor to turn it off when it's done?
My only obliging neighbor is the foreman at this plant. I can leave as soon as he comes back.
Fine. Here's my card.
Thank you. Oh, if only I could have George back again. Mr. Templer, if the man with the bump on his head does turn out to be my husband, I shall be eternally in your debt.
That idea has some fascinating connotations.
Templer?
And if I say yes?
Joe Fowler, Interurban Insurance Company.
Oh, I don't need any.
I'm not a salesman. I'm an investigator.
Of what?
Well, people, mostly. I hear you've dug up a guy who might be George Payne.
You have big ears.
I have a big telephone. Mrs. Payne called me right after you left her. I'd like to have a talk with this guy who might be George Payne.
Come on in, Fowler. If there's anything left of the guy when I get through with him, it's yours.
You don't sound happy about this character.
No, and I won't be until I know why he's pretending to have amnesia.
Pretending?
Yeah. Why is the insurance company dipping an oar into this?
$250,000. Good reason?
$250,000. Good reasons. That's the amount you won't have to pay if Mr. Payne is still living, huh?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, come and meet my guest.
Oh, I'd like to, very much.
Mr. Sugar. He didn't lock.
Templar. Look, hanging from the...
Oh.
Well, he committed suicide.
Yeah, it looks that way. It was supposed to look that way. But if he could talk, I think he'd tell us he'd been murdered. Cheerful place, isn't it, Fowler?
Waiting rooms of morgues aren't supposed to be cheerful.
You're pretty sure that the unfortunate victim is Payne, aren't you?
Oh, I didn't say that, Saint. I said he fits the physical description.
But if the lovely Mrs. Payne should tell us that she is satisfied with the identification that the corpse is her husband, then what?
Well, then in all likelihood, the insurance company will be equally satisfied.
And $250,000 moves from your pocket to hers.
That's the way it goes, Saint. When a policyholder dies, we pay. It's the basic principle of life insurance, you know.
I know. But in this particular instance, a few things strike me as being a little too basic.
What do you mean?
And I can answer that partially as of now, but I prefer to answer it entirely as of later.
You still think Payne was murdered, Saint?
Thoroughly.
Guesswork?
Mathematics. The well-worn problem of 2 added to 2 and equaling 4, only in this case it was 10 and 10 equaling 20.
20 what?
Sleeping pills.
Sleeping pills?
Yeah, 20 sleeping pills, each one guaranteed by the manufacturer to make you dream of Eddie Lamar. They're in my medicine chest.
Oh, today I'm stupid.
The late lamented knew I had dream pills in my medicine chest. He even said he thought he would need one.
So he took one, and it didn't work. And he lay awake with a bump on the head and a skull full of amnesia, and being mentally upset, he became depressed, and he got out of bed and hung himself.
Fowler, have you ever hung yourself?
Huh?
It's a difficult thing to do. And it's a dreary way to die. Painful, too. You can swing and sway in agony for as much as 5 minutes before you pronounce yourself dead.
Well, but people have been known to do it, Saint.
Not people who have 20 sleeping pills available.
See what you mean. If he'd wanted to kill himself, he'd have gone after the pills instead of the cord.
Say, you are a detective.
But why was he murdered?
Some people call it the root of all evil. You and I simply refer to it as money.
This is where I get off. If he was knocked off for anything, it was certainly not for money. Or didn't you notice that little black bag was still with him?
If the killer had taken the little black bag with its little green contents, the suicide he hoped to make everyone think it was would no longer look like suicide.
There's a lot of sugar in that bag, Saint. And the killer could have so easily taken it. It cost him a lot of money to make this murder look like suicide.
The way I'm thinking, it didn't cost him one red cent.
What do you mean?
Not one Chinese dime. Because that little black bag with its cargo of joy, every last penny of it, will now go back to its lawful owner.
Lawful owner? But who?
The killer. I don't think I'll wait any longer for Mrs. Payne to come and identify the body. I have a sudden urge to talk to a certain bookmaker.
You're going? You're not interested in knowing whether or not Mrs. Payne identifies the guy as her husband?
Mr. Fowler.
Are you kidding?
A taxi! Taxi!
You don't want a taxi, Mr. Templer. Does he, Basil?
No, indeed he don't, Cecil. You have used your head.
He's used both his heads. Is it recess time at the monkey house again, boys?
He is funny. Is he, Basil?
He is funny now, Cecil, but will he be funny later?
No, he will not, Basil. It is not possible to be funny when you are sleeping on the riverbed in a pair of cement pajamas.
I want you Knights of the Round Table to take me somewhere,
Oh, we're gonna take you somewhere, all right.
Yeah, I want to see O'Connor. There are some questions I intend to make him answer.
You are gonna make him?
Yeah.
Basil, either this chap is screwy or somebody already beat his brains out. Come, Saint. The boss is awaiting in the car.
Well, I hope he hasn't been awaiting too long.
This way, Pigeon. And, Saint, we are just about on the verge of losing our politeness, are we not, Cecil?
We indeed are. What my colleague means, Saint, is don't venture to try nothing.
Yes, Saint, like I told you, people and racehorses, they both have a price. You wouldn't talk for money, so the price is now a painless rub-out as against one that's full of agony.
Hey, you're being far too generous, O'Connor.
Hey, drive carefully, you hooligan. You want the cops on us?
I'm sorry, boss.
Don't worry, boss. I will see that Basil drives careful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Saint, look, I'll make the offer even more attractive. I'll let you choose the spot where the bullets go.
Oh, really? Now, that's too much.
Frankly, Saint, I'd like to be able to tell you to let you go after you told me what I want. You know, maybe with just a couple of broken bones here and there, some little
nothing,
stuff.
Yeah.
But I can't do it. I can't let you continue alive. You're too smart. And unless you're running way off form, you've stirred up a fire I thought I put out 3 years ago.
You did kill Payne, the paint man, 3 years ago, didn't you?
Well, he owed me some pretty important money. The boys and I called on him to collect, and he said no.
And the boys went into action.
I'll say we did.
Yeah, these two apes of mine, they made with a little too much action. See, I didn't want George Payne killed. Just wanted him scared into paying up.
But Payne died, and the river bottom has been his home these last 3 years.
Yeah, that's it. And tonight, he's going to have company on that lonely river bottom. And it won't be no mermaid. Ready to give me an earful now, Saint?
Not quite ready.
We'll make him ready when we get to the shack, boss.
Yeah, I'll be just screaming to talk.
Meanwhile, then, let's have some more of your reminiscences, O'Connor. For instance, what made you so interested in the little man with the black bag, huh?
What made me interested? Hey, you crazy? Here we go. We knock a guy off 3 years ago, and for 3 years, he's laying in a river. See? How would you feel if you see him or his exact duplicate, the same clothes, same everything, on the street one day last week?
I'd feel haunted. So you had the boys tail him for a couple of days,
Yeah.
Huh? And one of the places he went was my apartment.
Yeah. But where he goes twice before that, that's what I get to worry over.
Yeah. He went to the place where George Payne would be most apt to go, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
So you began to worry about it, huh? You didn't want George Payne or anything concerning him to pop up anywhere.
Yeah, that's it.
You worried because whatever Payne's double was up to had to be a swindle. And you were afraid that the swindle might interest the police again in the Payne affair, and that you'd be on the carpet again, and maybe this time you'd be nailed as Payne's killer.
Yeah, I knew that you had it figured, Saint. You see what brains do for a guy, though? You are going to be killed because you got brains.
How sad.
Come on, Saint. Come on. Give, huh? Give. Spare the boys some bruised knuckles. What's the swindle the guy who looks like Payne is pulling?
Well, if he's pulling us any swindle right now, it's trying to convince St. Peter that he belongs.
Huh?
Yeah, the man you're worried about is dead.
Dead? Now you're pulling the swindle.
Well, a little sightseeing trip to the morgue will convince you.
Okay. All right, we'll take that trip, Saint. And if the guy is dead like you say, maybe you'll live a little. But if he's not, you're going to be dead a little.
Well, I'm glad you're still here. I see everyone else is gone.
Oh, I dread the thought of going home. After seeing my poor husband in the morgue, I thought maybe if I could work, I'd not think too much.
And what do I do now, applaud?
Pardon?
The performance, the speech you just gave. Mrs. Payne, frankly speaking, you're just about as bad an actress as you are a swindler.
Why, how dare you?
Look, are you going to climb down off that high dudgeon, or must I push you? Your little plot was a honey. It was so simple, it almost worked.
Look here, I demand to know what...
Such a simple swindle, almost stupid. We have a Mr. Payne who has been missing for 3 years. We have a Mrs. Payne who is dying to get her hot little hands on $250,000 worth of insurance money.
Oh, you're insane.
And finally, we have the highly fortuitous appearance of a man who looks so much like the missing Mr. Payne that even his bookie gives him a double take. Plot? Make a deal with the double. Have him fake amnesia. Tell him to call on the saint and ask the saint to find out who he is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Give
the
man a prop, a bag of money, so that the man can say, I wouldn't be bothering you, saint. I'd go to the police and ask them to find out who I am, except that this money I've got is probably illegal. So the saint puts his fabulous nose to the grindstone and sniffs out that the man is George Payne.
And the man, of course, willingly allows himself to be murdered so that I can collect my husband's insurance.
The man thought he would take over a paint factory. That's all he thought. He didn't know about insurance. So, the man is then murdered.
By me, of course.
No, no. You and I were here together, remember? We were standing over that hot vat of resin at the time the man was murdered.
Well, thank you at least for not accusing me of murder, Mr. Templer.
I said you didn't actually commit the murder, but your colleague did. So you are just as much of a candidate for the chair as he is.
Oh, I have a colleague, have I? With an imagination like yours, Mr. Templer, I'm surprised you didn't make it a whole gang.
Mm, so the man is murdered, and Mrs. Payne says, yep, that's George Payne, and collects all the insurance money as of now without having to wait that long, dreary 7 years before her missing spouse can be declared legally dead. End plot.
You should write comic books, Mr. Templer.
Yeah, I should. At least the murderers in that business are all made of ink. You know, this whole affair might have given me great difficulty if it weren't for one thing.
Oh, what one thing?
A stupid thing. The man with the alleged amnesia telling me he awoke from his deep nap with his pockets picked dry. And yet the cab driver telling me that he took a $10 bill out of his pocket. A little unimportant and stupid.
Of course, you can prove all the wild things you've been saying.
There's only one thing that still consumes my curiosity, Mrs. Payne. Who is your accomplice, the man who actually committed the murder?
Well, all you have to do, Mr. Templer, is turn around and you'll see him.
And you'll see this beautiful gun I'm holding, too.
Fowler. Yes, an insurance company detective would be a big help in swindling an insurance company.
Stay where you are, Saint. I said stay where
you are. Come on now. Give me that gun. Give it to me. Thank you.
Run, Ed, run.
That won't help, Mrs. Payne.
Ed, be careful of the bat. Ed!
Someday, somebody is going to buy a can of your paint, Mrs. Payne, and wonder why there are buttons in it. Don't bother, Mrs. Payne. I've been called it before. What do you say we go drop in on some policemen, huh?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast, you heard Joan Banks as Mrs. Payne and Sheldon Leonard as Frank. Ed Max and Tony Barrett were Cecil and Basil. Sidney Miller was Murphy, Lamont Johnson, Mr. Sugar, and Jack Moyles Fowler. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This adventure of the Saint was written by Michael Cramoy. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring with Michelin Prell and Errol Flynn in William Marshall's production of Bloodline. All you Saint fans will be glad to know the Saint comic books are available on all newsstands. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Next Sunday, you're invited to the Theater Guild on the Air's full hour-and-a-half production of Shakespeare's masterpiece, Hamlet. The pages of Hamlet come to life on Theater Guild next Sunday, March 4th, on NBC.
Theater 5 presents Mr. Jackson Beck in Jailbreak.
Dawdling out here, honey?
Oh. Morning, Sarah.
You better hurry on down to that courthouse, honey. You're spending too much time birdwatching to win friends as a fighting sheriff.
Yeah, it's real pretty and cool and peaceful here early mornings.
But you're nearly 2 hours late now, honey.
Courthouse will be hot and ugly, especially with the murder trial closing out. Ugly as sin.
County election coming up. It'll be ugly, too. You don't start minding your business. This big sheriff man of mine's going to lose his badge. Honey, looks especially bad you being absent with that trial going.
Yeah. Truth is, I'm not so eager to hear a sentence passed on that salesman.
Honey, he's sure to be found guilty, isn't he? Well, honey, isn't he?
In all the years I've been sheriff in this county, I never knew a man to be found innocent during a hot spell. Everybody gets mean here in August.
Tom, honey, what's worrying you so much?
Looks like I'm in deep, deep trouble.
Why? What trouble, honey?
I guess you know what trouble. Everybody's dead certain that salesman's going to get the first degree.
Well, didn't he kill a man?
But that's not the point, Sarah. You know it isn't. His guilt doesn't matter one way or another to me, except... Well, don't you remember... It'll mean another execution. I know it. I can smell it coming.
He's from another part of the country. He don't even belong here. And this salesman, he comes in here and kills one of our neighbors. He ought to pay, hadn't he?
Sarah, it's me. Me I'm talking about. They're going to want that salesman hung.
But if he's guilty...
But it's me, Sarah. Don't pretend you don't remember the law in this county. It's me, the sheriff, that has to hang that salesman.
No, Tom. Don't get yourself all worked up. Just don't think about it.
You, of all people, my wife. You know how bad it was for me that other time. How bad, bad.
Tom, wait. I don't feel so good, Tom.
Neither do I.
I'm getting one of my splitting headaches, Tom. I'm just going blind with it. Now, you send Doc Murphy out here right away, as soon as you get into town. Send him out here to see me with that new prescription.
All right, Sarah. All right.
And don't you worry yourself sick. Maybe they let that salesman off easy.
Maybe. Let us hope and pray they do. Let us hope and pray.
Order! Order in this court! Now, Mr. Frank Morris, our Blue Ribbon juries found you guilty of murder in the first degree. For our past sentence, you got anything else you want to say to
Only
this
what
court?
What I've been saying, Your Honor, I didn't set out to hurt, let alone kill anybody. Just arguing in that bar, I had a few too many, got to fighting. And this guy is dead. The thing is, I had nothing against him. I didn't know him, never even seen him before. I just got to fighting. It was an accident. What I mean is, Your Honor, it seems you ought to consider that and not make it first degree.
You didn't know your victim. But all of us here in Lakeville knew him. We knew him well. He was our good neighbor here for 40 years. still would be if you hadn't driven into our town and murdered him. Anything else you want to say?
I guess I might as well save my breath.
Yeah, what for? You won't be needing it, Frank.
Order! Order! Well, you're right, Mr. Morris. Too hot for lengthy speeches. Won't make any myself, either. Jury says first degree. Wouldn't be proper for me to extend mercy when the jury hasn't recommended any. Therefore, it's my solemn duty to hand you over to the administrations of the county sheriff's office. Until such time, the exact day not yet decided, as you shall be hanged by the neck until dead.
Accommodation's a little better here in the city jail. Roomier and cooler, too. This courthouse is old, from before the Civil War. These walls are thick and cool.
Bed's better, too, not so lumpy. Now, listen, he said I was going to hang. He said that. Now, Sheriff, you got to help me.
I want to help you, Frank. I'll do what I can.
I know that. You treated me right.
You got any friends up north you can call in, Frank?
Not that could do me any good, no.
What about money, Frank? You need a good lawyer.
If I haven't been making out selling that junk. What I did, my wife took. She's been bleeding me white. I figured to do better if I get a few new sales routes opened up down here, but my luck's never been so bad.
Well, Frank, I don't want to see you hang.
I know that. You're a decent guy. I appreciate the way you've treated me, Sheriff.
I'm not going to see you hang, Frank, if I can help it.
You come and eat your supper.
I'm not hungry, Sarah.
You stop moping about that no-good salesman. You'll make yourself sick.
He's got no friends or relatives or money. He doesn't know anybody. He's got no more chance than a blind pup getting drowned in a rain barrel.
Just put it out of your mind for now, honey.
Sarah, Lord Almighty, don't you have any feelings for me at all? Don't you know what a terrible thing this is for me? Don't you have any idea at all?
Of course I do, Tom. But we gotta face facts.
Facts. Fact is that before you know it, it'll be time. I'm supposed to have that trap built all up again. I gotta buy rope, figure things out. The fact is, I gotta take that man out and put a rope around his neck and Sarah, you don't know. You don't have no idea what it was like that other time. I'm not a hangman.
But you're the sheriff.
But I don't have to take a man out and kill him. I don't have to break a man's neck just because I get paid to do it.
You do have to, if you want to be sheriff.
Is that all you think about, all you care about?
If you don't hang that salesman, someone else will. Someone else will be the sheriff.
Sarah, please, listen.
You listen. Election's coming up soon, and if you can't do your job, you'll be out of office and you know it. You don't hang this no-good salesman, and everybody's going to laugh. Not a one will vote for you, but they'll all laugh.
That's how it is. So that's how it is. Only thing you think about or care about is my being sheriff?
I'm not going to waste time caring or thinking about it. You're the sheriff, Tom Bender, and that's what you're going to stay.
Salesman's really acting up, Sheriff. He's throwing a regular fit back there.
Well, Deputy, what if you knew you'd be taken out in just two more days and hung?
Well, all the time I've been deputy, I never seen a boy act up like this salesman. All I did was weigh him.
Weigh him?
Well, I've been studying up on hanging. It's complicated. I mean, you got to figure the weight of the guy and then figure out the length of the rope or the drop according to how heavy the prisoner is. If you got a heavy guy, you have a shorter drop. A lightweight guy, a longer drop. This is caused...
Spare me the details, deputy.
Well, anyway, I told that salesman you'd be real careful and to do a good, clean, quick job of it. That's when he started throwing catfish.
You better have a look back there. Sure are excited and worked up, aren't you?
Well, it's not likely I'll be in on another hanging.
Get away from here, Sheriff. Go away and don't come in here. I don't want to see you or your kind.
Now, Frank, hold on a minute.
Now, you stay away from me, you Judas creep. You're going to help me? You're going to be my friend all the time? It's you? You going to hang me?
Well, that's how it is in this county, Frank. It's too poor to hire a professional hangman. Sheriff's supposed to take care of that little chore.
You and that Judd creep back here weighing me out like a Christmas turkey. Got to have just the right length of rope, he says. So the sheriff can do a quick, clean job. Now get out of here. Get out!
I heard you hung one before, Sheriff, and had a little trouble.
Well, there was some trouble, Judd. Even professionals don't always do it neat.
Well, that's why I've been doing a lot of figuring. I found this library book on hanging. It got this chart in it. Now it says just what length of rope to use for every pound
of... You go on and study, Deputy. I'll be moseying along home.
Yeah, but Sheriff, this is important. You get the drop just right, you won't have the trouble like last time. I mean, he won't just hang there, kick an inch.
We now commend thee to a better world of forgiveness and mercy.
What's the matter? What's happened?
Some kind of mistake.
Oh, my. He's still kicking. He's trying to climb back up the rope. What'll I do? Help me. What can I do?
Get down there and grab hold of his legs. Pull. Pull on him hard. That's right. Add your weight to his and keep hauling. Pull harder.
Oh. No. Let me out. Oh.
Tom. You're all right. Now. You're all right now, Tom. Now, just having another one of your bad old dreams.
Sarah, I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't hang that salesman, you hear? I'm going to resign.
Oh, no, you're not. You're up for re-election, and you got to win.
I'm getting out. I never wanted to be a sheriff anyway. I won't hang another one.
Oh, yes, you will, Tom. If you don't, I'll tell everything I know about you to some politicians who'll be glad to hear all I know. And I know plenty. I know about the bribes and the payoffs. I can name dates and names and places, mister.
Well, I needed more money on account of you. That's why I did those things. You running up debts, wanting and wanting more. I had to do it. Now you do that to me?
Just try me. Just try me, mister. You want me shamed and laughed at? You want to destroy my life, all I've worked for? Then I'll ruin you, sure. I sure will. I'll send you to prison for 20 years.
Come to weigh me out again, Sheriff? I lost a few pounds.
I'm going to help you, Frank, like I said. Take these. Hide them under your mattress.
What is this?
Hacksaw blades, 6 of them.
I can use these... You mean I can get out?
What the devil do you think they're for?
The bars up there?
That's right. The only bars you can get through before daylight.
I don't know what to say. I don't understand. Why are you doing this? I mean, for me, you take a big risk like this for me. Why? Why?
Because I hung one man already. One too many. It was a few years ago, but I live it over again just about every night. It was bad. So bad, I can't tell you how bad. But I can tell you I won't hang another. I won't hang you, Frank.
Why'd you do it the other time?
I was young. I didn't know anything could be that bad. I did it for a woman. My wife. I was just married, and if I didn't do it, I wouldn't be sheriff. And she wanted me to be sheriff, wanted it more than anything in the world. All she cared about was the prestige, being important, being a sheriff's wife. So I did it. But I won't do it anymore. Not for her, not for anybody.
Well, thanks. That's all I can say. Thanks.
I never wanted to be sheriff, Frank. I'd have quit years ago if my wife hadn't held me to it. You see, this isn't my country up here, nor my people. It's Sarah's country. So I had to stay here and be a sheriff. But what I always wanted was a boat. A boat hauling deck cargo over there in the Gulf. That's all I ever wanted, Frank. Maybe it isn't too late.
No, maybe not, but it seems pretty late to me. I better get to work on those bars.
Plenty of time, Frank. Wait till it's good and dark.
Those look like sort of thick bars.
Like I said, Frank, this old courthouse was built before the Civil War. Those bars are made out of old-fashioned iron, soft, very soft iron. Those blades will eat through it 90 to nothing. You saw these two through just at the bottom, that's all. Wiggle them a little and they'll drop right out of that upper frame. That plaster's soft as wet sand inside. Then you just drop out and down into those weeds and hightail it to freedom.
Yeah, I'll be glad to get out, but I won't have a chance. I don't have clothes or money. They'll run me down like a dog.
Now that's all worked out, Frank. You'll get clean away. I'll see to that, all right. Now listen. You make one mistake, we'll both be in the soup. Now, when you drop out of the window, you'll be facing Elm Street. Now, follow it south to a bridge over Hamilton's Creek. Cross the bridge. Go 100 yards, you'll find my pickup truck on the left side of the road in a grove of willows. Keys will be in it. Drive it straight south, 3 miles. Big white house setting back from the road, and the mailbox out front will have my name on it, Sheriff Tom Bender. You drive on in.
Your house?
Why, sure. You'll hide out there a while till the chase cools off. I'll get you some clothes, a little traveling money, and later I'll have a way of getting you over the state line. Last place anybody around here will look for you will be in the sheriff's house.
Well, that's right, but what about your wife?
She won't even know you're there, Frank. Not where I'll put you.
Well, okay, maybe my luck's turning.
Just don't get lost or mess up anything. Or they'll have Abe's coon dogs on you before daylight. Now, let's have those directions back now.
All right. Well, I go down Elm to the dirt road, and then turn south. I keep going down.
Sheriff, it's me, Frank.
Come in, Frank. Glad you made it. Have any trouble?
No.
Didn't run into anyone? Nobody saw
you?
No,
clear all the way, except some pigs got in the road.
Don't move any further, Frank. Just stand right
there.
Where
do I hide?
Just stand right there, Frank.
What's the gun for?
Don't try anything, Frank.
What is this? What are you doing? Who are you calling? Who is that? That woman? What's she doing lying there?
She's dead, Frank. I killed her, Frank, a few minutes ago. I finally did it. I got rid of her in time to have a few good years of my own.
You killed her?
Yeah. That's Sarah, who wanted to be the sheriff's wife. Hello. State Trooper's office. This is Sheriff Bender over at Lakeville. The wild man murderer broke jail here during the night, and they've had the coon dogs out after him. I just got back to my house. I'm calling from there now. Morris was here waiting for me. He must have known how to find my place and figured to use my wife as a hostage to make his escape. That's right. She put up a fight and he killed her. Yeah, that's right. He killed my wife. But I got him here, got him covered. You better head right straight over here, Lieutenant, and pick him up. He's dangerous to hold on to for long. All right. Hurry it up.
Like I said, you're a Judas creep.
I don't have to hang you, Frank. I'm free now. I'm going to the Gulf and get that boat. Oh, I can feel that breeze coming from way off, from the West Indies.
Double-crossing, lying Judas creep.
You're not out anything, Frank. You were going to get hung anyway.
Judge, I wish you'd come over to the jailhouse and talk to that Tom Bender for me.
What's wrong with Bender now, Judge?
Well, he's a pack of trouble, Judge. Acts like he's still the sheriff and me being his deputy, instead of me being the sheriff and him being my prisoner.
Tom troubles me, too, Judge. Oh. I almost wished he'd got away with killing Sarah after he planned it so carefully.
Well, he sure came close to getting away with it.
Yep. Setting it up to look like that escaped convict killed her was mighty clever. It was his bad luck that Sarah phoned Doc Murphy that night and made him bring her out a prescription. Doc showed up just in time to see Bender murder his wife. Seems like bad luck.
kind of a shame. Tom Bender was a good friend of mine.
Yeah, mine too. But now I gotta hang him.
Somebody's got to do it, Judd. You're the sheriff now. If you want to stay sheriff, you got to do the hanging.
I know I got to do my duty, Judge, and I want to do a right good job. But to have a proper drop, I got to know just how many pounds of prisoner I got for each foot of rope. And Tom, he just won't cooperate or nothing. He just won't let me weigh him out.
Theater 5 has presented Jailbreak, starring Mr. Jackson Beck. Written by Bryce Walton, directed by Warren Somerville. Featured in the cast, Margaret Hamilton, Bob Reddick, Jack Grimes, and Roger DeCoven. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find this show, all the other podcasts, thousands of other old-time radio episodes, and our Shoutcast stream all at relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on the link on the website. Can't do this without your support. Thank you very much to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.